Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This afternoon, there's a public hearing on the budget in Milwaukee County, the most populated county in Wisconsin.
One of the issues up for debate this evening is how much money should go toward mental health systems and initiatives.
Also this weekend, there's a report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on how to fix the mental health system in Milwaukee County, and there's an ongoing back and forth at the state level as well.
Well, we'd like to hear from you on this. Have you ever used mental health services in Wisconsin, and what was your experience like? What do you think needs to be done to improve mental health care in Wisconsin? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
Our guest is Barbara Beckert. She's director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights Wisconsin and coordinator of the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force. Barbara, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you this afternoon.
So there's been a lot of back and forth in Milwaukee County in particular about the mental health system there. Some people I've seen over the weeks and months have called it broken. Are things that bad?
Well, I think historically Milwaukee County has had a very troubled public mental health system, and we've been very focused on analyzing what the problems are instead of trying to fix it. But I do feel some optimism that over the past year or two that there have been some positive movement in the right direction with a lot of focus on expansion of community-based services and supports and decreasing the reliance on institutional and crisis services.
I want to dig deeper into those particular issues in just a moment. But before we do, are these things that we're facing around the rest of the state as well, similar challenges?
Oh, that's a great question. I think Wisconsin is rather unique in how we fund and oversee mental health services. So we have a county-based system in our state, whereas with other kinds of services, long-term care, for example, there isn't that reliance on county. There's uniformity throughout the state. So in the case of mental health, you could almost say we have 72 different mental health systems. So, yes, there are a lot of inequities and disparities from county to county. And Governor Walker, who is a former Milwaukee County executive, recognized that. And we were very pleased to see a significant investment, approximately $17 million in the biennial budget, which tries to address that inequity and to expand access to community-based mental health services.
Well, let's talk about that. I think my outsider perspective, you sometimes think of kind of all or nothing treatment, I guess. Either somebody doesn't get any treatment at all or they're institutionalized, and maybe there's not a lot in between those two. Is that a problem, and what kind of things should be there?
You know, that's a great question. And just as with other kinds of health needs, diabetes or, you know, hypertension, people need a range of services. That's certainly the case with mental health, even more so because many of the services are not medically based. So in terms of the opportunities to increase access to services, the kinds of things that we have advocated for are easily accessible services, voluntary services, including counseling, medication management where that's needed, and it's not always, medication is not always the solution. Peer support, that's become an area where Wisconsin is really, and Milwaukee County are really providing some leadership with training people who have lived experience of mental illness to be certified to provide support to others. Benefits counseling is very important. Employment services, many people with mental health needs want to work, but they may have challenges around keeping eligibility for benefits. Affordable housing is extremely important, particularly here in Milwaukee County, where that's in short supply. And case management is important. I think one of the things we really need are more opportunities to bring the services to the people, to have walk-in services strategically located in different areas of the community where people live. Right now, the primary place to access services in our county has been being taken in a police car out to Watertown Plank Road. Over 13,000 people a year go to our county psychiatric emergency room. It's the second busiest in the country, and I think we can all agree that's not a good way to access health care. And I think the county, you know, is working collaboratively to try and move to a different model. And there's an urgency about doing so.
Well, speaking of the police, one intervention I've seen suggested is changing how we deal with those crisis moments where right now the default is you institutionalize somebody involuntarily. Are there ways that police, other first responders in these situations can, I don't know, be trained or intervene in a different way than they do now?
Well, that's another good question. One very positive model that began in Nashville and that we've adopted here in Milwaukee and in a few other counties in our state is crisis intervention training. The acronym is CIT, and that is training for first responders, including law enforcement and emergency room personnel, and how to respond in the most sensitive and effective way when there is a mental health crisis. And one of the things that's going on right now in our state is there's a lot going on with mental health, and Speaker Robin Voss had chartered a mental health task force to look at some of the needs to improve access to mental health services. And they're going to be making an investment, if the bill moves forward, and I hope it will, to expand the funding that's available for training first responders using the CIT model. In addition to that, another initiative that the Speaker's Task Force is planning to fund is expanding mobile crisis services. And here in Milwaukee County, we have a mobile crisis response team that is run by the county, and that includes clinicians. And the idea is that a family member, a person in crisis themselves who is looking for help, or someone in law enforcement can call, and the mobile crisis team will come out and they'll respond and they'll assist. The problem is that these resources are in very short supply. So it's important to have 24/7 coverage in Milwaukee County, and we've pushed for that. We're not there yet. But the investment that the Speaker's Task Force is trying to move forward, I think, is going to be a positive incremental change. Certainly not going to get us to where we need to be as a state, but it's a step in the right direction.
You know, I wonder, you're based in our most urban county in the state. What kind of challenges are at the other end of the spectrum in our more rural counties when it comes to mental health?
Well, the agency I work for, Disability Rights Wisconsin, is a statewide advocacy agency. So we do hear from people all over the state. And, you know, you're right to point out that there are very significant challenges in rural areas. There are, you know, counties where there are no psychiatrists, and child psychiatrists are in particularly short supply. So access is a huge issue. And again, I would point to some of the positive things the Speaker's Task Force is moving forward. You know, again, there's no silver bullets for this problem because these are related to workforce shortages that take years to address, but they're going to be doing some things to incentivize psychiatric residents to locate in underserved areas, and also development of a consultation line with child psychiatry to improve access. So I think that those are positive steps.
Speaking of access for kids, do you have a sense of how many youth who might need mental health assistance are able to get it?
That is an area where Wisconsin has lagged far behind. And, you know, I would encourage you, you may want to do another interview and call in that focuses specifically on the youth mental health system, because the issues there, first of all, are so deserving of attention, and secondly, they're somewhat different and involve interactions with other systems, with the school system, for example, where we often see in our work that youth with emotional and behavioral health disabilities are treated in a punitive way. And instead of schools working collaboratively with families to meet their special education needs and to get them needed help, they end up being suspended or expelled. So that is a big topic and one worthy of a segment in and of its own.
We're talking to Barbara Beckert. She's director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights Wisconsin, coordinator of the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force. We're talking about the state of mental health treatment and services in Milwaukee County and around the state as a whole.
Well, we'd like to hear from you now. Have you ever used mental health services in Wisconsin? Do you work in the mental health field? And what do you think needs to be done to improve mental health care in Wisconsin? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. We're talking to Barbara Becker, director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights Wisconsin, coordinator of the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force, talking about efforts to improve mental health care and available services in Milwaukee County and in the state as a whole.
And we're taking your calls now. Have you used mental health services in Wisconsin? And what was your experience like? And what suggestions do you have about improving mental health care here in Wisconsin? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234.
We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Barbara, before we do, we were talking about detaining people with mental health crises, and that brings up the 24-hour rule in Wisconsin. What is that, and does it need to change?
Sure. I would be happy to explain that, just giving fair warning that this is a very legalistic matter and a complex one. So Chapter 51 is the law that governs mental health rights and services in Wisconsin. And the Chapter 51 detention procedure in Milwaukee County is different from any other county in Wisconsin. That's because our state has a different procedure for large counties with populations greater than 500,000. And right now we're the only county that's larger. The reason this procedure was put in place in the 70s was because the Milwaukee Police Department pushed for it because of the time that the process was taking for police, because they had to stick around to file the paperwork for moving forward the process with the courts. So as a result of this change, people are seen by a doctor, a treating director supplement is done within the first 24 hours the person has been detained. And that's taking the place of what a law enforcement personnel would do in other counties. So we think that that's a positive thing. It gets people seen very quickly after they have the trauma of going through an emergency detention. It means that people who are not there appropriately, they don't need to be hospitalized, are seen by a clinician who makes that determination, and they can leave the hospital. If the 24-hour rule was not in place, then people could be held for up to 72 hours or longer if there's a weekend or holiday, waiting for their probable cause hearing. So that, you know, in a nutshell is what the 24-hour rule is. So I hope that that's a helpful explanation.
It is. Thank you. We'll go to our
There is one particular concern, though, for people who are medically compromised and are at a medical hospital, perhaps, for example, because of the result of a suicide attempt. So our agency has worked closely with Milwaukee County, with the Public Defender's Office and Corp Counsel on a compromise proposal. So if someone is medically compromised, the clock will stop ticking, and not until that person's medical clearance will they be assessed. So that's a proposal that was put forward a couple of years ago through the a legislative study committee, and it's kind of been stuck in the process in Madison, but it appears that it is moving forward now, and we think that that's a good thing.
We'll go to our callers now. We have Steve with us in Menominee. Steve, hi.
How you doing? I'm not 100% sure if I agree or disagree with your guest, because I think that that's normal, because it's a very multifaceted issue. Mm-hmm. I think there's two kinds of mental illness and probably more, but one is organic, or those that are maybe psychological or trauma oriented, and you know they need to be treated differently. Really, I just don't think you can take somebody with an organic mental illness problem and and ignore their need for medications and stuff. And when you have like a person in crisis, it's almost like fighting a wildfire. I mean, you have to get some water on it. You have to get it under control before you can begin to deal with any of the issues, whether they be underlying psychological ones or organic related ones. You have to have them under control. And, you know, in Wisconsin, you can't, a family member who has someone close to them that is in crisis, they can't do anything unless the person is a danger to themselves or others. I mean, you can call the police, and the police just have to throw up their hands.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Steve. There's not too much time left, and I want to get Barbara in on this. I think what he's leading toward is the question of involuntary care, involuntary institutionalization there. It sounds like he says sometimes that's appropriate.
Yes, and we think that our current system offers opportunities. We certainly see many situations where people are receiving involuntary care in our state, and we think it's appropriate that it should be limited to those situations where someone is a danger to themselves or others. People with mental illness should have a say in the care that they receive, just as people have the right to make other health care choices. Forced treatment is very traumatizing. I know I've heard from many people who've been through that it made them reluctant to seek help in the future. So I'm not saying there should never be forced treatment, but it should be rare. It should be a last resort. And the problem in our state has been that people have not been able to get access to voluntary treatment. So all that we can do to increase access to voluntary treatment and engage people as partners in their health care, that's going to help us be successful. Forced treatment should be the last resort.
And I think I'm getting a sense you're wanting more of a focus on, well, voluntary is part of it, but on recovery and means of recovery rather than institutionalization.
Absolutely. And I mean, that is not only a national trend. I mean, that is the law as affirmed by the Supreme Court in the Olmstead decision. And in some ways, Wisconsin has moved forward with that for people with other disabilities, but not as aggressively for people with mental illness. And, you know, we see that here with the mental health complex in Milwaukee County, which is one of the largest county institutions of its kind. So I think that it's a very positive thing that we're looking at changing the paradigm here and giving people the opportunity to live more independently in the community. What's important is that we make the necessary investment so that the services and supports are there to help people be successful, as you say, in their recovery and in the community. And that if at times people need additional care, if they need hospitalization, that safety net is there.
One thing you touched on briefly earlier that was new to me, and I wanted to hear a little more about this idea of peer counseling, peer services. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that this is an area where we've seen some really exciting developments in Wisconsin in recent years. And the idea is, you know, a little bit like the model that we've seen in the substance abuse world over the years, that people with lived experience, in this case of a mental illness, bring a special insight, credibility that is going to help them in terms of engaging and being a support to their peers. So there's actually a profession that's developed nationally and where Wisconsin's been very forward-thinking called Certified Peer Specialists. So Certified Peer Specialists go through significant hours of training. They go through a pretty rigorous certification process. They have to take a test and pass it. And then they work in many different settings, providing support to their peers. So in Milwaukee County, we have 80 certified peer specialists currently. Some of them work at the mental health complex. Some of them work in supportive housing. Some of them work at the Crisis Resource Center here in Milwaukee, which is an alternative to being hospitalized or detained. And one of the initiatives in Governor Walker's budget that we're very excited about is peer-run respite. So that's a model that other states have moved forward, and Wisconsin is just embarking on. And that will actually mean that people with lived experience of mental illness will be designing and delivering respite services. So it's been tremendously effective in other states. You know, clearly Governor Walker was impressed by the idea. He put it in the budget, and the way it's going to work is we're going to do a couple of pilots initially to really get it right, and I think that that's a smart approach. And I believe the Speaker's Task Force on Mental Health is also planning to invest some dollars to support that. So it's great to see that moving forward.
Just in our last 30 seconds or so, with any issue, it may be worthy and valid, but the budgets are tight, the economy is still not great. Why should the government, the state government, make more funding for mental health care a priority?
Well, I think we should do that because the way we are currently delivering mental health services has a terrible human cost, and it has a significant fiscal cost. So emergency detentions, forced treatment, involvement of law enforcement is very expensive in terms of dollars, but it also has a very high human cost. So let's change the paradigm and use those dollars to have recovery-oriented voluntary treatment.
All right, Barbara, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Barbara Beckert, Director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights Wisconsin, Coordinator of the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force.
Coming up next, we'll talk to an expert about the rise in risky drinking among women. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.